I want to extend a sincere welcome to those of you who are new with us this morning. If you've been new with us over the last few weeks, if you're just trying to get to know this church family, welcome. It truly is an honor that you're here. It's an honor to us. It's a privilege that we have a chance to love you in the name of Jesus. And it's our prayer, it's our desire that you would be brought near to God. As you are with us, as you worship God, and as you hear his word, that you would be brought near to the Lord. We have a new members. We welcomed a whole host of new members last week. If you weren't here, it was an encouraging time, a wonderful time. We want you to be able to put a face to a name for those who are new members in our church family. And so if you weren't here to get the write-up last week, it's out in the foyer, and I'd encourage you to just pick one up. It's got all the families' names and brief bios on it. And so grab one in the foyer if you'd like to get to know some of the folks who have recently committed to this church family. We are here at this point to hear God's word, God's living and active word, the word that he has spoken from all time and spoken through men and women and inspired them to write down. We're here to hear his word and to bow our hearts to his word. And we believe that the God who authored this word is the God who delivers his people. The God who delivers. And I don't just say that as a platitude. That's not just some airy idea. But he actually delivers as a historic reality, as a personal testimony, as a tangible experience of God's people. He delivers. He shows up. He moves in lives. He acts. He hasn't wound up the gears of earth and kind of set it going like some out of control top, even though it might feel like that at times. That's not the truth. He's actively involved with his people and in his creation. He knows us. He calls us. He encounters us. That's what we've seen in the book of Exodus so far. He rescues us, not halfway. Right? He delivers us out of bondage and out of darkness, not halfway, but into a place of life and goodness, into his presence. That's good news. And so we've been seeing that in these early chapters of the book of Exodus. And today we'll continue in Exodus chapter 3 with the truth that he sends us. We're adding this to the picture of Exodus chapter 3. He knows us. He delivers us. He rescues us. He calls us. He encounters us. But he sends us as well. There's no getting around the fact that God pairs the calling of Moses with the sending of Moses. And so he's a sending God. He sent the prophets. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent 72. He sent 12. He sends the church. He's a sending God. That's the one we worship. And so we take seriously the fact that God has sent his church on mission and that we're part of that church. He uses the local church often to send individuals and families as the extension of the church. He sends. He sends us. So that's where we're heading. And if you'd stand with me as we read God's word in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 9 and 10 of Exodus chapter 3. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, says the Lord. And I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And then skipping down to verse 16, we will definitely spend lots of time in 11 through 15. But skipping to verse 16. So go, assemble the elders of Israel. Say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt and into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the elders of the Israel will listen to you. And then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. And please pray with me as we continue. You desire, Father, in your word, not only to reveal yourself, but in that to change us, to move us, to draw us to worship. And so, God, I pray for myself as I explain and declare your word that you would strengthen me with your Holy Spirit. I pray for all of us that we would be sensitive to your working, that we'd be sensitive to what you want to do and say in our lives and as a church. So, Father, come and be among us as we listen to this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as readers of Exodus chapter 3, as folks who have been spending time in this story in the early part of Exodus, we see now what has only been implied. We see it strongly stated now. God's plans for Israel involve Moses. God's plans for Israel include Moses. He doesn't simply know him and encounter him and call him. He's sending Moses. He's involving intricately Moses into his plans. He calls Moses in order to send him. So how does that hit you? Right? What happens in you? Because the truth is also that he calls the church to himself in order to send us. He calls us in order to send us. And so what happens in you when you hear that truth about who God is? He calls you in order to send you. Is it met with a little bit of excitement? Or is it met with some reticence? Is it met with readiness? A mixed bag, fearfulness? What happens in your heart and your mind when you think about God sending you? What fears and doubts rise up? What if he sends me to Timbuktu? Right, you've been there maybe. If you anywhere but name your location, your people. What if he sends me somewhere dangerous? What if I'm far from my family? What if I can't do it? What if I'm not received? What if people find out how weak I am? What if people find out that I'm a sham? What if I have to stop a job that I love? Right? What if? What if? What if? Moses has plenty of what ifs. And God has a response for each one. Right? What is your what if? As God speaks to you and sends you, or even the idea of his sending, what is your what if this, God? We're going to start to see God's responses to Moses next week. But today, we see God's purposes that motivate his sending. We see the heart of God that motivates his calling and his sending of his people. The platform on which he stands when he says to Moses, "Now go." When he says that to Moses, here's what he's standing on. Because he's good, after all. Is he not? He's good. He is love. He does what is right and wise and just. He does what is glorious, and he's bringing all of this world into a glorious conclusion. And so when we are giving our what if to the Lord, we're giving it to the one who's receiving them, who is good and wise and loving. This is who's receiving our what ifs, our questions, our doubts. He's good. And so there's a purpose behind this sending. And that's what we're going to look at. The platform on which he stands when he sends, the purpose of his sending. In fact, as we look at Exodus, we're going to see that he sends, and there's one sending, but there's two purposes, actually. One calling, one sending, and two purposes. This idea shouldn't be too foreign to us. It shouldn't strike us as too odd. For instance, what's the purpose of sending your 12-year-old boy to go clean their room, if you've ever been in that situation? What's the purpose, right? I mean, on one level, first, it's to ensure that the stinky gunk of whatever's up in there doesn't creep out and invade the rest of the household. I mean, so it's self-preservation on one hand. Please clean that up so that we're not overrun. But there's another purpose as well, hopefully, ideally, the purpose, not only so cleanliness on one hand, but there's this idea of you want to instill a value in a son, to be responsible, to have hard, to not be afraid of hard work, to have love for your family members. For goodness sakes, it smells in there. Love us, right? So there's two purposes. There's one sending to the child and two purposes. What's the purpose of planting shrubs on a bank if you have a slope in your business or your workplace or your home, or even if you've been the one planting? They're beautiful, right? On one hand, aesthetic, beautiful flowers, smell sweet, but there's also the prevention of erosion, soil staying in place, the ability to plant more things in a yard. There's one action, but there's two purposes. And we're going to see that here. God sends Moses to fulfill two purposes. And why does he send us? He sends us to fulfill two purposes. That's where we're heading. He sends us to fulfill two purposes, a dual purpose. And the first is this. He sends us to fulfill his purpose in us. In us. He doesn't simply use us as a tool, though it's an honor to be a hammer in the hands of a holy God, right? But he doesn't simply use people for his purposes. It's more than that. His sending is good for us. Let's think about it through that lens. When God sends us, it's good for us. Is all that God has planned for you to sit at home and watch TV and stay out of trouble? We act like that, right? To make enough money to pay our bills and enjoy life a bit. To be a good person. Is that what God has for his people? I, the eternal and loving God, have called you to myself from all eternity, set you apart from before time began, filled you with my Holy Spirit, and gifted you with special gifts and unique talents and abilities, set you apart, put you in the place where you are so that you can sit at home and scroll through the iPad and stay out of trouble and be fearful to go anywhere or to anyone for the sake of the kingdom and the gospel. It's ludicrous to think about it in those terms. It doesn't make sense. Do you think it's selfish of God to send you? God, how could you send me? Can't you do it on your own? Why don't you just mind your business? I mean, listen, sending is good for us. When God sends us, it's good for us. He has good intention, good purposes, even in us. It's good for us. He changes us. He builds us up. He brings us past what we can even think or imagine about our own lives. He brings us beyond what we're capable of. We grow up in ways that we never would when he sends us and when we respond. We experience the Lord in ways that we never would. Sending is part of God's plan to sanctify us, to help us to experience the life of the Holy Spirit that he has for each one of us. Sending is part of that purpose of how he develops us. So when we respond to his calling and we step out of our normal routines, our normal agenda, our plans, we're going beyond a religion that's simply about following rules and being good. What is that? That's not Christianity. Jesus says, come and know me. Come and follow me. Come and have life in me. That's what it means to know and follow the Lord. In being sent, we're moving beyond traditions, beyond our warm feelings, beyond coming and having a service be a pacifier to our soul. We're moving beyond those things. Being sent means that we're often putting something that counts on the line, our reputation, our relationship, our homes, our jobs, our time. We're putting it on the line. It doesn't even mean leaving a location. I want us to hear that. Being sent out doesn't mean we have to move, although that could be a part of it. Being sent out means that there is change involved. There's change from my direction to his, right? I was leading, now I'm following because he's sending. I was leading, but now I follow because he is leading. He is leading. We see that in Moses' example. This mission, if you read in Exodus and beyond, this mission reclaims Moses' lost years. It pulls together all these things that have been built up in him over the years. His history. Think of the ways Moses is different at the end of the story in Deuteronomy from where he is in Exodus 3 and 4. If you go and read Deuteronomy chapters 30 through 32, and you'll see a man of courage and boldness and love for the Lord and prophetic spirit and love for the people. It's not the same man we see in Exodus 3 and 4. It's not. We are changed too. We are built up in so many ways. Take faith as an example. We are built up in faith. God's sending builds our faith. So what is faith, right? Faith is relying upon God, leaning in on God, trusting his words and his promises. Believing not only that he is, but that he's good and he has a plan and that he knows us and that he's calling us. Believing that we've been purchased with a price. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Right? All that's faith, relying upon this good God. Now, how does he build that up? There's one story when Kelly and I left for seminary in Boston. It's not like going to Iran. I realize that. You know, we're leaving Charlottesville and moving north. But there was a real sense of stepping out for us. We felt called and sent, and we couldn't deny it. We both had jobs that we enjoyed. We hadn't known another place as a married couple. It was expensive. It was emotionally risky on a number of levels for each one of us. We were put in a place as we moved where we had to rely upon Christ in new and different ways. We had to step out. We had to say, Lord, we need you to move. We need you to provide for us, and we're trusting that you're going to do that. We're moving out because we feel like you've called us to this and you're sending us. He builds our faith when he sends us again and again and again. He builds our maturity, if you've thought about that. I remember once we got up there, about a year or two into our time, we were in our church in Massachusetts worshiping the Lord and with our local body, and there was a presentation from a team that had been to India. And they were sharing what the Lord was doing there, and we had a time of praise afterwards, and the Lord said to me distinctly, I want you to go to India, prepare. Basically, like, I'm sending you to India. And not more than 30 minutes later after the service, a couple of people from the team came up to me and said, you know, we were wanting to ask you to come on our next trip. Would you please consider coming on this trip with us? And you don't even have to pray, really, at that point. I mean, what do you say? God, well, actually, I think the answer is yes, because God already said, you're going. And the Lord worked in me through the preparations for that trip. The Lord worked in me because, honestly, I was scared, right? I was scared of what I had heard about some of the persecutions in northern India where we were going. I was scared of some of the violence, scared about the complete otherness of the culture, scared on a whole number of levels. I remember having to work through Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Right? This is just a small step, a little trip, a small step in my own history, and yet the Lord used his sending to build up in me. And while we were there, he opened my eyes to so much more about himself and about the world. He grew me up a bit with that trip. It was valuable, fruitful. The Lord builds the maturity of his disciples as he sends them. You probably can tell the similar story. He builds our joy, right? In Luke 10, you can turn there if you'd like, but Jesus has appointed 72, and he's sending out 72 ahead of him as he's heading into Jerusalem. He sends out 72 others to declare, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is near. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. They were facing all types of challenge. They were facing rejection. They were facing hardship. I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves to declare what you've heard from me is true. So he's sending out these 72. And what happens in them? Do you remember, what's their first words to Jesus when they return in Luke 10:17? They returned with joy. They returned to the Lord with joy. And they said, wow, you can't believe what's happening here. Well, even the demons are submitting to us in your name. This stuff you've been teaching us, it's true. It's real. The kingdom is near. They had joy. They were seeing something of the Lord and something of his kingdom that they hadn't seen before. And it was no doubt building their faith and maturing them, but it was producing joy in them. They were overcome and they were rejoicing because they were sent and they obeyed. And so he sends us for our good. He sends us for good purposes in us. He builds our maturity, our faith, our joy. And the list could go on and on, right? He builds our courage. He builds our love for other people. He builds our longing for the return of Christ. He builds and he builds. When we're following the Lord and not leading, we learn to live life as it's supposed to be lived, in step with the Holy Spirit in Christ. We learn. And many of these lessons, we can't just learn sitting at home and watching reruns and staying out of trouble. We can't. We have to be sent. We can't learn these lessons being frozen by what if and by fear. We learn as we step out. We learn as we take a risk. We learn. And this is the first purpose of why God is sending his people. I wanted to start there with us, because who do we think about, right? Most of all, who do I think about? I think about myself. But maybe now that we're warm to being sent, right, maybe we can handle this other aspect of the purpose of God. His sending is more than just about us, isn't it? His sending, there's another grand purpose behind his sending. God sends us to fulfill his purposes in the world. Let's see it in Moses first and then draw the connection. In verse 10, God says to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh. Why? To rescue, to bring my people out of Egypt. Right? Deliverance belongs to God. This is God's stated desire, to bring his people out of bondage, to rescue them. We saw that last week. We need to keep that in front of us, that it's God's work, it's God's action, but he's sending Moses to be a part of this rescue mission. We're sent to do something that only God can do. He's sending Moses. And so what is Moses' role? He succeeds here, not just out of his great cunning and his great plans and his natural abilities and leadership. That's not why he succeeds. He succeeds because he carries out the plans and the strategies that the Lord laid down for him. That's what we see in verse 16 through 18. He said, go to the elders and tell them what I've told you, and then go to Pharaoh and ask permission to take this 3-day journey. These initial steps of God's rescue plan, God is directing Moses for his purposes. Specific initial steps. And as we see Moses following these as well as the other plans, even in the face of doubting and even in the face of criticism, we're seeing God bringing about his eternal, glorious plans. The plans that he desires. He's using Moses, who's simply faithful to what God is saying. Now, how does this relate to us, right? God sends us as well to fulfill purposes, his purposes in the world. How does it relate? Just as God sent Moses to fulfill purposes for Israel, God sends the church to fulfill purposes in the world, his purposes. Fulfilling the purpose in the world means accomplishing the eternal desires of God by carrying out specific plans and strategies that God lays out. Israel was supposed to do this. Israel was supposed to function as a shining example of God's goodness. Israel was supposed to point to God's holiness, to establish God's kingdom, and draw the nations to itself. Remember the promise to Abraham, you will be a blessing to all nations. Your descendants will bless the nations. But Israel failed. They did not do this. They didn't remain faithful. They didn't bring about God's kingdom. They didn't ultimately bless all nations on earth. But Jesus has and does. Jesus has done what Israel could not and would not do. Jesus fulfills all that God had planned for Israel. God's rescue plan in Christ turns outwards to the nations. We're not just drawing people to ourselves. We're not just drawing people to a place. In Christ, we're going outwards with the gospel. We can go out because in Christ, the gospel is at home in every nation, in every language, in every type of culture. The gospel is at home. And so in Christ, the gospel, the purposes of God go out to the ends of the earth. That's good news. And so the church in Christ is sent out to the end of the earth. He initiates, he calls, he sets the plans, and then he involves us in this rescue mission, this purpose for the world. And so what are God's purposes in Christ for the world? Right? What are they? These should roll off our tongue. They should leap to our mind. Go and make disciples of all nations. Right? You will receive power from the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. Right? What started in Jerusalem is now for all nations. And what will happen when the church is a witness to the power of the gospel, when we're making disciples at the ends of the earth, what will happen? Revelation 11, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. This is the purpose of God. And so we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done. This is God's purpose, that his kingdom would come, that his righteousness, his holiness, his justice, his truth would be made known. This isn't just our hope. These are our marching orders. As the church, we should commit these to memory. We should take them seriously. Because Jesus said, just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, in John 20. But he also said, and I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I am sending you, but I am with you always. And so let's let this sink in, right? Let it capture our imaginations, our hearts, our minds. We're not simply saved, right? We are involved. We're brought in. We have a role to play in the kingdom of God. So have you let your what ifs freeze you from being sent? Are you overly contented? Am I overly contented by the distractions of the richest nation in the history of the world? Have I let my what ifs, my doubts, my fears freeze me? We are a part of something so much larger than any one of us. It would overwhelm us to be able to take in the grand scheme of what God is doing in the world for his glory. And yet he says, you're a part. You individually, you, this church family, we are a part of it. I remember walking through the university distinctly one day, short while after I'd learned what it looked like to know and follow Jesus. And I remember walking through the university and going, wow, like God's at work here and he wants me to be a part of it. I mean, just the excitement of it all, that God is doing something in this place and he's invited me to be a part of it. It was exciting, exhilarating. How does this apply to us as a church family? How do we put hands and feet on this, right? We want to be disciples who make disciples. We want to see all that we are doing through the lens of up, a relationship with God and a relationship with others in, and then taking that outwards to our neighborhoods, to our communities, to the ends of the world. But it doesn't happen with office management, right? We're not going to plan this well enough to make God's purposes come to pass. We can't walk in the call of God's sending on us by coming on Sundays and being warm and well-fed and going home happy. If these purposes are going to occur, we need to corporately step out and work with others and be participants. We need to see our places, wherever your place is, we need to see our places as a place where God wants to work. What dreams has the Lord given you for growing up his kingdom? If the what ifs don't hold the day, what dreams have you had for growing up the kingdom of God? Are they perhaps the start of a call that God has that he's going to turn into ascending in your life? Do you let yourself dream? What dreams do you have? Are you open to the possibility that your dreams that are godly dreams, that are for his kingdom, that he wants to bring them to pass? Have you let that die? Or are you open to the possibility, even if you're retired, right? You hear that. No matter what age, God wants to send you for his purposes. There are those who brim with ideas, who have an entrepreneurial spirit. And I want to say, go, be entrepreneurial. Initiate things in the kingdom. And there are those of us who just want to put things together, right, and work and serve. That's okay. Come be together with the entrepreneurs and work together for his purposes. Is that a sign? That's an amen. Being sent is more than just crossing an ocean. Okay, there are no shortages of places where we can put our hands and feet into action, where we can listen to what God is saying and move. Young lives, Abundant Life, pregnancy centers, Riverside Tutoring, ISI. You can open up your home to someone who's lonely and hurting. You can join a discipling relationship and speak truth into a brother or a sister. You can go to nursing homes. You can speak love into the lives of neighbors, the neighbors' kids who you know are not receiving love. You can welcome them in. It's about connecting our relationship with God to our relationship with people, connecting those two things. It's about doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with our God, as Micah said. You can help plant a church. You can help plant your small group if it's too big. You can follow what the Lord is saying and be sent. Because God's purposes for us, they're not for us to be famous and to draw attention to ourselves. God's purposes are for him to be famous, right? For his name to be great. And so many of our sendings, they'll be obscure and hidden and quiet, and that's good, and that's okay. God is sending us to those places as well. So hidden or public, close or far, we get to be part. Did you hear that? We don't have to be a part. We get to be a part of God's mission, his eternal mission. This is wonderful. So do you want to see God's purposes fulfilled in the world through the church and through you? Don't resist God's sending. Right? Lay your what ifs at his feet and ask him to move and give you courage. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for those of us who are frozen, who are scared, who don't think we have anything to offer, for whatever reason, don't feel like we can be sent for something that is good and pleasing and worthwhile and eternal. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts and minds, in our very soul, to speak truth and life and to give us courage to step out in faith. God, exalt your name through this church family. Lord, exalt your name here in each one of us and as a church, Lord, that we might be sent out for your glory, for your purposes. We ask this because of the grace of our Lord Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.